You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. The Lego theatrical release films, which of course started with a huge amount of applause from critics and audiences with the first The Lego Movie. You know, the third one is usually the point where we start to lose some steam. And all I can say is it certainly seemed like some people had writer's block. See what I did there?
Well, thank you. That was another review from one of us. Have a great night, everybody.
We are talking about The Lego Ninjago Movie. I'm here with Marco and Scott. And, this is, I didn't even know there were that Ninjago was a Lego toy line. I mean, to be fair, I'm not the Lego market for right. selling their stuff. So being unaware they had a whole ninja thing going on.
It's probably got to be a great deal for them too, because if you think about it, a lot of Lego's success of late has come from licensing these well-known and beloved franchise characters.
And this one, they just say, well,
and they're like ninjas, public domain.
Yeah, you know, nobody owns ninjas. Or if they did, they're like, you know, I mean, they'll kill you for it.
Yeah, they could do Lego Cowboy Town, Lego Pirate movies, you know, whatever.
That's weird. The guy at the Lego Corporation died from a heart attack. He was only like 30. Meanwhile, the secret ninja master somewhere is like, steal my copyright, will you?
Yeah, you know, there's not a whole lot of ninja stuff in this movie.
No, this is a Power Rangers movie. It's not a ninja movie. It's a Power Rangers.
They couldn't get the license to Power Rangers. So, like, they're Ninjago. They're ninjas, but they drive mecha.
With Jackie Chan showing up for the I'm the only, like, Chinese guy that audiences recognize in America, so I'm going to take a paycheck to play the old mask.
I'd like to think that Jackie Chan, for a moment, just said, aren't ninjas Japanese? Yes, Jackie, but what if you were a ninja master? Ah, fine. Just sign the check. Over
whatever.
Whatever.
Like, you couldn't have the Lego Shaolin Monk movie. Yeah. So.
I mean, Ninjago itself, from the very first introduction, and it's a beautifully designed, you know, Lego city that obviously has a lot of Oriental touches to it. But from the moment we arrive, it's made very clear it's a kind of multicultural, anything goes kind of place. They don't really lean into that.
The first thing you hear is a guy saying, Buenos dias.
Yeah. And then there's like a bonjour. And I'm like, okay.
And I'm like, that's bizarre.
That they got around that whole, like, well, we're not going to be racist, you know, with the way we portray Asians, because we'll just make Ninjago in any kind of town place. It just has like some Asian architecture and a Chinese acrobat, you know, ninja master, whatever.
I mean, obviously not complaining. Who cares?
I mean, nobody. Yeah, we're nitpicking at this point, because the truth of the matter is, as you said, Chris, third time's not the charm with this series.
It's like. Hollywood has always had this problem with not understanding that just repeating the formula isn't going to work if you don't have good writers. And in this particular case, they
there were like 19 writers.
Yeah, they hired a lot of people, none of which I think worked on the previous ones, as far as I can tell. And it all feels like about the same quality of a direct-to-DVD Lego movie.
Well, that's what
a theatrical one.
That's what this feels like. And, you know, look, let's be frank. We're not the market for this. This is a movie
made
for kids.
That's no excuse. That's not an excuse.
No, it's not an excuse.
So are Pixar movies. So are Disney theatrical
films. But some of the Pixar straight...
How to Train Your Dragon.
And have you seen the straight-to-video versions of that? There is definitely a different tier.
But this isn't a straight-to-video.
Right, but it should have been. Had this... That was the point I was getting to.
I'm just saying that...
Had they made this for children, direct DVD, you know, hey, you know, you want to babysit the kids for 90 minutes, just stick this on. They'll be entertained for a while. Do not tarnish your brand by putting this in theaters.
Because no critic in their right mind is going to review one of those directed DVD movies with the same sense of like, okay, show me something that you get from the film that's the third movie in a theatrical franchise that's had two strong entries in it, you know? They're like, clearly they're like, oh, this is the high watermark, the theatrical ones. These are the ones we actually put effort into. And now this one feels like, yeah, we just copied the formula and wrote a bunch of really bad puns.
If this had been a three-episode TV, and there is a Ninjago TV series, which is my understanding. If this had been like a three-episode arc, I'd have been like, okay, yeah, perfectly good way to entertain the kids.
You probably wouldn't have watched it in the first place.
I wouldn't have watched it, but I would have watched it and said, you know what, this isn't offensive, it's not terrible, but boy, I didn't need to see this in the theaters.
Yeah, I think to say there's another market for it is almost fair because, truthfully, Lego Movie and Batman already had a built-in audience. Like, you already knew, you basically knew, and they're making it for those audiences. It was smarter, it was more made for adults to bring kids, maybe. But this is the first one I think really is just for kids.
Yeah.
There's almost no adult subtext except for a Jim Croce song, which who the fuck was that for?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty weird.
For the one dad who wasn't awake, there was, in fact, somebody snoring during our screening.
Usually it's Martin.
And there were a good amount of kids. And so I was curious what their reaction was. They seem to have been listening and enjoying it. And, you know, anytime somebody made a butt joke, big laugh.
There were plenty of butt jokes.
But really,
once again, good for them. That almost anything to entertain a small child as long as it's colorful and moves quickly and mentions farts.
That's who this is made for.
But the story here, such as it is, Dave Franco voices Lloyd Garmadon.
Lloyd.
Or as his dad, Lord Garmadon, voiced by Justin Theroux, says, Lloyd, because it's got two L's. Come on. Everyone hates him except for his mom. Who's like, no, always basically just speaks in aphorisms. And but what she doesn't know, what anybody else doesn't know, everybody hates him because his dad is like the big evil guy or attacks the city.
Basically attacks the city weekly.
But he always gets like beaten away by this group of ninjas that have giant mechs that they fight him off with ease usually. And what people don't realize is the hero, sort of leader of the group of ninjas, the Green Ninja, is in fact Lloyd, or Lloyd, who for some reason has never made peace with the idea of just admitting that he's the Green Ninja. But, you know, superhero identities and all that.
They also have, you know, they store all of these mechas in a warehouse on the docks that really anybody can see. Oh, look, right. There's where the mecha go and land. How they keep the secret. The kid's last name is Garmadon. How anybody doesn't know.
Well, no, his dad is Lord Garmadon.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things like, come on, everybody knows he's the Green Ninja. Everybody knows
who
they are.
Clearly they don't know because they all hate him. They write pop songs about how much they hate him that become number one hits on the radio.
I mean, you know, I'm making the mistake of overthinking this plot. But, you know, what it's not much of a plot.
What it comes down to is Garmadon finally finds a way to beat them and take over the city. And in a desperate move, bolstered by his emotions of feeling abandoned by his father, the Green Ninja uses something that their master, voiced by Jackie Chan, told them, no, you're not ready to use that. The ultimate weapon, which is a laser pointer, which summons the cat, which is about the only funny moment in the film.
It really
is. It goes on for the whole rest of the movie, and by the end, you're totally fucking sick of it. But
this movie frequently makes the mistake of going, hey, remember this gag that wasn't that funny? We're going to do it again exactly the same way, and somehow that will magically make it funnier, but it never does.
So the team, who are all mad at the Green Ninja now, or Lloyd, have to go to the deep, mysterious jungles to find the ultimate weapon to stop the kitty, or what they call Meowthra, I think, you know, which was like, all right, whatever.
Sure. Meanwhile, lessons are learned.
That's hysterical. And along the way, they're forced to work with Garmadon, who, of course, decides, I have to take care of this just by myself without any of my assistants. And it really desperately tries to find a heart in a father-son learning how to finally make up for lost time and bond story that feels completely hollow and almost surreally unreal.
He teaches them how to catch, and that's a beautiful Lego moment where more teaches them how to catch. Set to Jim Croce, which will go down as the weirdest thing I've ever seen in a Lego movie.
It is a pretty weird thing to have in a Lego movie. I agree. But there's not much really weird about this movie overall. It's all so standard. Half the jokes feel like they came out of the rejected lines from Batman and Robin. Like, level of puns. You're like, oh my God. And strangely, like, as much as the Lego movie and the Batman Lego movie relied very much on meta-cultural references, this movie takes a much bigger background to that. There's a little bit of referencing to, like, insider referencing to martial arts movies, but barely, you know?
One sequence of I thought the funniest thing was that weird montage of the opening of martial arts films where they learn how to do kung fu, martial arts. That was funny.
By watching all the other martial arts films, and there's,
funny-ish. I mean, that was, like, a clever, like, you know, the one title, the one was, I've left this life now. It's something ridiculously long life.
Yeah. Or there's like the Kill Bill 3, you know, you're like, okay, sure.
I mean, it's not that there aren't any good jokes in this movie. They're just too few and far between, which is why I think, you know, either release this as three episodes of a TV series or release it as a 1 hour maybe movie. At 90 minutes, it was really, really pushing it.
And you have, it's not like you don't have a good cast here. Olivia Munn is voicing Lloyd's mom. Michael Pena is the red ninja. Kumail Nanjiani is the blue ninja.
Who cares?
Abby Jacobson is the gray ninja. Zach Woods is the white ninja. Fred Armisen is the black ninja.
Again, who cares? None of those characters were iterated. All those good voice talent was wasted. I had no idea who was playing any of those characters because they didn't matter. It's just like I'm just the red ninja.
It felt like at points they were trying to write dialogue at the very least for Kumail that felt like Kumail things to say, you know, like Kumail's sense of humor, but they just weren't very funny jokes.
I
was so bored was the biggest problem. I was just bored. I mean, seriously, this is a scene with a adorable cat, like, is jumping up at a laser and attacking a city. And after the initial chuckle, I didn't laugh again for the whole probably 10 minutes of screen time he had. That's how much they had just sort of – this movie had already by that point buried any sense of goodwill that I had for it.
Yeah. I mean, look, obviously, I think it's – if you've listened this far, it's obvious that we are not – crazy about this movie. It's not that we hate the Lego movies. We've obviously liked the previous installments. This one just didn't miss it, just missed the mark. I don't recommend watching it in the theater. If you're curious, check it out when it comes out on video or streaming services. Pop it in, let your kids watch it, whatever, but don't spend any time going to the theater on this one, guys.
And it's weird because this is like, once again, we said there was like a ton of writers. There's also three directors, none of which worked on the other ones as near as I can tell, but they're all experienced in animation on television. You're like, I get the feeling this whole thing coming out so soon after the Lego Batman movie was pretty goddamn rushed. One of those, somebody going, this is an iron that's going to cool off quickly, so we better get it, make as much money as we can.
The problem with that is you have Justin Theroux doing the villain, and he does fine, but it's basically...
he's doing an impression of Will Arnett the whole time.
And that was distracting.
I thought, is this Will Arnett? I was like, why are you doing an impression of Will Arnett the whole time?
Same voice. And then Dave Franco sounds like he's just hitting puberty, and I have a hard time with that.
Yeah. Really, well, he always kind of looks like he's just hitting puberty anyway.
It sounds like it's just five times. Those are the two big voice miscasts were just choices that they made.
Yeah, and you know, and I love Jackie Chan. I mean, you take one of the world's greatest physical performers and basically reduce him to a voice, and it's like you could have gotten any Asian actor. You know, and given him this plum role to play. And, you know, hey, I don't begrudge Jackie Chan a gig, but it's like, and by the way, I guess we should mention there is this sort of little wraparound sequence where Jackie Chan is basically narrating this story to a little
live
kid.
Action,
it's so they, again, they're following the that formula. Like, let's have some live action.
The kid goes into that ancient Asian, like basically shot from Friday the 13th, the television series, right? And you're just like, don't get the gremlin.
Yeah.
Don't take the wish upon box. Don't, you know,
that lament, you know, the lament configuration, any kind of creepy Asian market you should not walk into and buy any artifacts. I mean, isn't that what wish upon was all built?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't these people learn?
In this case, like, don't take a story because this kid's life is probably ruined. We don't see the Lego Ninjago movie too, where he comes home and it turns out he's released an ancient demon that starts killing all his by then teenaged friends, which is probably what would happen. We know what would happen.
That would have been a much more interesting movie than this one. I'm all about it.
I mean, if they really want to sell me on being excited to come back into the theater for another Lego movie, that's about as hardcore as they're going to have to take it after Lego Ninjago, which was not for anyone.
What I think really set it off, I didn't hate as much as you guys. I thought it was slight, but it wasn't terrible. What really kind of set the tone wrong was the opening news bit with Michael Strahan and Robin Gibbons. And the tone of that was just off. Like, it seemed like it was like a ridiculously like hyperbolized TV thing.
Everybody laughed when it was Michael Strahan. I was like, I don't have a clue who that is. So
I was a little lost on that. Other than he had a really weirdly shaped Lego head.
Yeah, he really did.
I didn't get that.
He's got a gap tooth.
Does he?
He was a football player.
I figured he was an athlete of some kind, but I was like, okay. Yeah. You know, it's harmless for kids. If you need to, if you got kids and you just need to keep them entertained for 90 minutes.
Well, you keep saying
sure,
that.
Sure, but.
And that's fine, but I can't give the film points for that.
No,
you know?
but
Barney keeps kids entertained for 90 minutes, but I'm not going
to
give it
But you don't need to go to the theater.
I'm not going
to
rate it.
That's all I'm saying.
Anything just because of that.
No.
Because I'm going to look at this in the terms of this was a movie made for both adults and kids to enjoy, and in that level, it failed absolutely. Completely.
Yeah.
Really did. And why don't we go into final thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, I think it's fine. It's you know, it's for kids to see. There's no real hook for adults to really get a lot out of it. I didn't mind it. It was enjoyable. It wasn't a horrible hour and a half of my time. It was cute. It had some moments. It had some very forced, nice Hallmark-type messages. Don't judge other people. Be yourself. Love your father. Blah, blah, blah.
Because they're really damning it with faint praise here.
You know, it's there are worse things you could see. I mean, it's you know, a double feature like this and It would be great for kids. I don't know.
But It Lego Movie. I'll see that.
Oh God, I'll see that.
The Stephen King Castle Rock multiverse Lego
there
movie.
There you go. Except it'll be Max von Sydow in a creepy shop, and he'll be doing the wraparound sequence.
You got Lego Alan Pangborn fights versus the Dark Man. Lego Dark Man.
Lego. Yes, I'm into it. You know, for your parents, you don't mind something very small, slight, and offensive. Great. Otherwise, yeah, wait for DVD, or if it should have been a 3-episode TV show, I agree with that entirely.
Okay. And your arbitrary rating?
My arbitrary rating is 2x2, 4x4, and whatever.
I have so many locked block combinations to show you. Marka?
I'm going to kind of just repeat what Scott said. It's kind of what I'd already said. Again, if you are an adult looking for some good entertainment and you think you're going to get what you got with Batman and the previous Lego movie, sorry to disappoint. This is only for kids. It's not worth paying full price to go see at the theater. If you're really curious about it, wait for DVD or streaming. It's not offensive. It's cute. It's too long and it's silly, but it just missed the mark for me. I give this 2 out of 2 Lego pieces.
I mean, for me, it's offensive in the sense that it's...
Two out of four, sorry.
It's a misdirected film inside of a thing that's setting itself up as a franchise that you have certain expectations from, because this is unrelentingly banal. You know, there's just really nothing to recommend this. If, like you said, if this was one of those ones you had just seen it straight to DVD, you would have gone like, well, that's exactly what I expected. Like, for it not to be very good, but like nothing offensively terrible about it. But at the same time, it's just there's nothing to recommend it either. Like, there's so many just bad decisions from the casting to all the writing to just following so strictly to this formula they're building for themselves, only with nobody having anything funny to say or do. It's aggressively mediocre, and I give it 2 out of 10 blocks you accidentally step on in the middle of the night. Yeah, I know I've done it.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck! I actually got in trouble for sneaking out one night when I was a teenager because I stepped on one and screamed. My parents came running out, what the hell? And they were like, I was like, I was just going to the bathroom. Like, yeah, why are your clothes on?
There is one offensive thing about it, and I'm realizing I was reading it wrong. Fred Armisen is called the laid-back, music-loving Black Ninja of Earth. I read that wrong.
I guess you could interpret that as offensive.
Yes.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Club, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.